Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 156, I can't believe it, of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila, and today we're here to talk about how to hire an expert.
This is really an important episode, because if you hear hammering in the background, it's because we hired experts.
Really?
To remodel our master closet in the master bedroom. pros and cons. So this is fresh on my mind.
All right. Did you do a good job of hiring experts?
We hired ones that we could get.
Okay.
And ones that were recommended. I will not know if we did a good job until the project is finished.
All right. So some availability and a recommendation was the reason for the hire.
Yeah, okay. That's it.
I hired myself as an expert this past weekend to replace.
To do what?
I had a GFCI, GCFI. I can never remember the right order.
It's a outlet. Plug.
Yeah, the outlet, the plug. I had a bad plug in my garage. And so I went around the whole house trying to figure out if it was a short or something like that in that whole circuit. And then I found one of the outside plug was leaking, and it was just a nasty, rusty mess inside.
Okay.
Yeah, and just didn't, it's not a plug of use. Right. You know, so it's just there. It exists in a spot. So I just cut all the plugs out, replaced all of them on the outside with nice new ones, and did it myself. And I didn't get electrocuted.
Congratulations.
I mean, because I'm an expert.
this is kind of the nice part about, we're going to talk about hiring experts in today's podcast at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is the consequences are rarely as deadly as if you decide to be your own electrical contractor. So see, if I don't hire a good closet, or if I don't build a good closet, then maybe my clothes will fall down.
Yeah.
But if Mark Vila made a mistake in, you know, putting in his 120 volt electrical outlets in the outside of the house where it rains, then there could be dire consequences.
Yeah, no, I got
it. But you guys, if you're looking at hiring an accountant or a business consultant or an ad agency or something like that, that's survivable.
Okay.
If you don't make a good decision.
Well, I made it through the weekend.
Good.
And as far as hiring experts, I do it for myself all the time and my own advice. I know I understand how to do that. Because I jokingly, you know, I don't remember the order of those letters for the GFCI, but that has nothing to do with my knowledge on electrical. So I could do it safely.
Okay.
And I'd take all the proper precautions. But the same thing with your business when you're hiring somebody or doing it yourself, there are some things you know how to do yourself and are easy enough, like changing plugs,
yep.
Right? There are other things that I wouldn't be interested in doing, like going into the attic and rerunning all the wire down to them.
Right.
So the same thing is going to come for your business. We're going to get into some of that stuff in this podcast. What are the right things that you hire for? What are the right things you not? This took me 30 minutes maybe for the whole thing.
Okay.
You know, just replacing plugs. It's quick.
Yeah.
It's fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You screws. Right. If it was running the wires, that would have been my Saturday morning running into the afternoon. Right.
And this is the same thought process though that goes into, and so you know out there that when we talk about hiring an expert, we're not really calling out a specific field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hiring an expert can be getting a new CPA. It could be hiring a business consultant to help you work through some issues. It could be contracting with an ad agency or a marketing company to bring in more phone calls and bring in more sales, or social media. Anytime that you look at your organization and you decide that you need help in something and you are going to write a check to somebody from outside your company to take care of that, you are basically hiring an expert.
Yeah. And we've talked about hiring employees in previous episodes, sure. And we've talked about outsourcing some work. So And which this is a little bit in between there, but this isn't about hiring somebody to help you run your embroidery machine or anything like that. This is about hiring an outside agency to outsource some of your work that you might do on your own or something you're currently not doing at all, but you recognize needs to be done.
Yeah.
So we started off in kind of just making some notes about this. And the first topic that Mark, I'll have you go into it, but you want to make sure you have a good reason to hire someone. So maybe you can go into that a little bit.
Yeah. And there's a, so having a good reason to is very subjective. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I should say is that make sure that you have an actual need.
Okay.
To hire outside, because it's occasionally cheaper than doing things yourself or hiring internal employees to get an outside expert to do things for you. But you need to make sure that it's something that you need to do and not just something that you're not reacting to a specific situation. You know, so if you've got a part-time side hustle and you're making $500 to $1,000 a month, but you looked last month and you realized that you didn't make any money, you undercharged or something like that, you know, to go out and decide to hire a CPA because you had that one hiccup is not a good decision. That's not a good reason to hire an expert. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be a real need that you are, that is going to move your company or your personal life forward.
That's a good point then. So in an example like that, yeah, if it's a side hustle, $500 to $1,000 a month, and you're just getting started, you know, do you need to hire somebody to manage social media for you?
Right. No,
probably not. No, probably not. Different than hiring somebody to do social media marketing, which is a different conversation if you need to do that or not to grow the business. Yep. But your friend has somebody who manages all their Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff and comments and likes and things and makes pictures for them. I mean, do you need to do that on something that's making you $500 to $1,000 a month? No, you're probably all your profit to do that. So really one of the first questions could be do you have a problem that needs to be solved, or do you have something that needs to be accomplished that is going to move your business in the right direction?
Yeah. And you've got to be able to say this very specifically. You know, it's not that, I don't have enough sales, so I need to hire a business consultant to help me find sales. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to put a little bit more thought into that. Like, what is the specific problem? Why do you think you're not, you don't have enough sales, or why do you think you're not as profitable as you think you should be? And what, you know, what is it that you expect this person to do for you?
Yeah. So I like when you brought this up and just listening to you now, one of the important things, and I know it seems so simple that it almost doesn't need to be said, right? Because of, you know, this just feels very rudimentary. Like, well, of course I'm going to only hire somebody for something I need to get done.
Right.
Right. But when you don't make it deliberate, what actually happens all the time, and this happens for home projects to business projects across the board, right? Something is shiny and grabs your attention. And then you look at it and it's your fish brain, you know, it sees something shiny and then it just goes to it.
Yeah.
Right. And, but you've also got a human brain living with it next to your fish brain that can say, wait, is that shiny thing? You know, do I need to go towards that? Do I need to look at it? And being deliberate like that in what you're going to do when you're looking to hire somebody. So I'm going to choke, by the way. So when you're looking at like an ad agency, what might happen is you attended some sort of a Zoom conference and you heard some success stories about people hiring ad agencies. Or you read an article, or you heard about something, or you saw something on TV, and now it's like new and shiny, and this is interesting. I should hire an ad agency. I should pay somebody to do ads for me. Why am I not doing that? And you start really, and maybe it's a good idea.
But
you also have to recognize this is a shiny thing that got put in front of me.
Yeah. So, and I that happens internally to us all the time. And we've got to basically stop ourselves sometimes. You know, someone will see a great new ad on Instagram and just the style, they really like it and says, oh, you know, we're not doing enough on Instagram. We have to do more Instagram because I saw this cool thing on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right. Or TikTok or whatever the flavor of the day is, you know, or your kid came up and showed you something funny on TikTok and you
Hey, Mark, do that TikTok dance. You know how to do really well.
I've never done the TikTok dance. But anyway, you get the point. It's not that, you know, if you go to write down, like, why are you hiring someone outside for this? Because I really want to do TikTok ads. Okay. And I don't know how to do it. That's why I'm hiring. That's a terrible reason to do it. Mm-hmm. Because the goal isn't to have Instagram ads. And the goal isn't to be on TikTok. Or the goal isn't to have an advanced multi-tiered Google ad strategy. You know, the goal is to have more business.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've grown my business as much as I can through word of mouth, as far as I know. And I think the next best strategy is to look into paid advertising. I'm not going to learn how to do paid advertising. So is it a good idea to hire a contractor then? Maybe. Like, you know, I have some extra money. What I'm trying to accomplish is visits to my website. So I get more leads and can sell more product online. You know, Google Ads, I understand, is a great way to do that. You do a little research. Yes, it is. People do that all the time. Now you've got a real want or need.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're trying to accomplish, and you know specifically why you're trying to hire someone else to do it rather than do it yourself.
Yeah, and this could be for, you know, paperwork type of stuff, you know, accounting, just processes, business process, type of stuff. So it could be bookkeeping, accounting, that type of stuff. Because you want to make sure that your taxes are done right. You want to make sure that your profitability is true profitability, right? So, some of it can be that, others can be, shipping. You can hire a consultant to help you with your shipping. Maybe you ship a lot of t-shirts, you ship a lot of hats, and you feel it's a bit of a mess. So is there a company out there that can help you improve that? You know, there's a million different things from ads and sales to marketing. So identifying that it's a good idea, looking at it, evaluating it, and then writing down an actual statement of work.
Yeah.
Okay. A job description.
That's a good way to think about it, as a job description.
Yeah. And I would say first, not first, but with the initial statement of work that you have, unless you've done this many times before and you know, the statement of work is I would say a list of questions and statements. It's both.
Okay.
Because as you're evaluating if this is a good idea, you know, should I hire an ad agency or a business consultant or a social media pro? You should have a list of questions that you're thinking about. These are the questions in not these exact words, but are, should I be doing more? Am I doing it wrong? What's the risk if I'm doing it right or wrong? You know, these are all questions you're going to ask. What's the potential if I make this change? What improvement can I see in my business? What improvement can I see in my sales? Whatever it might be. Will this save me money in the long run? Will it make me more money in the long run?
So first I want everyone to stop right now and not Google statement of work.
Okay.
Because that's not really what we're talking about quite yet. So, you know, it's not a formal state, you know, normally, like if you come to me and hire me as a marketing consultant, you may be able to talk me into giving you a statement of work that says, this is everything that I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And this is how much it's going to cost. What we want you to do is write a statement of work that you need done or want done, or think you should have done, which is why I kind of approached it as the job description, is because Mark Veal and I are both actually experts in hiring experts. So, you know, we do a lot of this for Coleman and Company Cold Essie, We're constantly look for people that are smarter than we are on a specific topic. We interviewed some email marketing experts recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked to Google advertising experts on a weekly basis. You know, we talked to Facebook marketing experts. And, you know, if we decide or before we decide to bring somebody on the team like that, to hire an expert for our business, you know, we write down exactly what we want to have accomplished. You know, we've identified that we don't get the open rate that we want to on our emails and that the ROI when we send these things out isn't high enough and it varies too much and we need help with these things. And in the end, we think that we can increase our revenues over the cost of the expert if we engage these people. So basically, it's a job description for someone or a company that you're hiring for that position. Does that make sense?
I do understand what you're saying completely.
Okay.
And it needs to, and to simplify that further, like just start simple with what's a potential problem that you have, and then write down all your thoughts on how to solve it or questions you would have on how to solve it. And then that becomes kind of your statement of work / job description / investigation, you know, notes.
Yeah.
And then at that point in time, you start going out there and you start to try to answer these questions as best you can and validate or invalidate the assumptions that you made. Okay. So if you made some assumptions that you can do something to improve your email marketing or whatever it be, you start doing some investigation and then you realize maybe some of the things that you assumed were wrong, mm-hmm. you know, right? You also might continue to see validation of that. So in that, it's going to lead you to contacting some experts, and we'll talk about how to find some good ones, but when you're going to contact them, ask them these questions. You're probably going to talk to multiple of these experts, whether it's accounting or advertising. You're going to have a list of questions you should ask their opinion on things. All these questions that you're going to ask, you're definitely not the first person to ask these. So these folks are going to have this type of answers, and it doesn't mean that don't let them dictate the conversation. You need right. to ask these questions if you've got them. And at that point in time, it really will help you to develop the true answer of, should you hire somebody to do this?
Right. And I think that, you know, so a couple of examples might be,
okay.
So if your taxes are all messed up, or you're mm-hmm. third year in your business and you haven't paid taxes.
Okay.
You know, things like that happen all the time. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. And so you think what you need to do is, you know, I should probably get control of this because I'm growing fast. I don't want to go out of business because the government comes after me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to find an accountant and CPA to help me clean things up, to help me file my taxes and things like that. So what are those, you know, so what you're going to do is you're going to even write yourself an email, you know, or write these things down and say, this is my situation, and be very clear.
Mm-hmm.
I've never paid taxes. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get caught up so I can be more of a legitimate business in the government's eyes and avoid future penalties, things like that, because I'm going to grow. So that's the problem that you're solving. What mm-hmm. you're trying to accomplish is to get this cleared up in a short period of time so you can move forward and then have a relationship with an accountant or a CPA that will help coach you as time goes by, as your business grows. Mm-hmm. Why are you hiring outside for this? Because obviously you've never done your taxes before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you really do want some expert help. So what are the questions that you have based around that? Is this possible? Am I going to have to pay big penalties? Should I stay? Does it matter if should I just start a new business, you know, from scratch as an LLC or an S corp? What are the potential legal ramifications of me doing this? You know, what's it going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
Write all that stuff down. And now when you do have that conversation that Mark was talking about, you don't have to have it on the phone. If you find somebody that you're interested in working with, you can send them that email. Say, hey, you know, here's what I'm thinking. Tell me if you're the right guy or girl or firm.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of process can go for a business consultant or an ad agency or a marketing guy or a social media pro. You know, so that's just an example of what you can do. And it doesn't have to be you on the phone with somebody. My first question, my second question, my third question is, you know, I would recommend that you send people stuff in writing, at least your notes. Say, this is what I'm thinking. Talk to me about that.
Mm. Yeah. And so a couple thoughts on that. One is never put in writing that you've never paid taxes.
Good catch. That's a very good catch. I appreciate it.
Put it on a sticky note that you show somebody and then burn or eat.
I may or may not have some tax issues.
Potentially.
That I may or may not be aware of.
I have a friend who said he's never paid taxes. I had a dream about somebody. That's good. Another thing I recommend is when you're talking to some of these folks, you have your questions written down and you can say, speak to them, tell me about the services you offer and let them speak and answer some questions for you and see, you know, see what kind of knowledge they bring to your table without always being baited or asked the exact question, right? Because it might answer some questions and create new questions for you, right? So make sure that when you're interviewing folks or talking to folks about this, you are listening just as much as asking questions. You'll learn a lot that way too. But now that we know it's a good idea to hire, we made that assumption based on, we've gone through this little bit of exercise, and maybe we've even talked to some people, we've done some internet research, we've asked some people that we maybe know who have done something similar, we talked to other business people, we participate in the conversation on a forum like Custom Apparel Startups or something like that. Now, how do we choose a good vendor? How do we make the decision of who to hire?
Right. That's going to be a combination of things. The first thing I would say is if this is going to be somebody that you're using on an ongoing basis, I hate to make this number one, but you have to like them.
Okay.
You have to, I don't want to call my, my marketing guy, or I don't want to call the guy that I hired as a process consultant to figure out what I'm doing wrong in making hats.
Mm-hmm.
If I literally don't want to talk to that person on the phone, you've got to have somebody, it's got to be somebody that you're hiring someone. So you want to be able to work with them on a regular basis and feel good about that.
Okay. So you should like them. You should trust them. You should value them as an expert.
Yep.
Okay. That's really good. So let me look at some things that we wrote down here to get on task here. So you had written down a great note, which I love it. You just send each prospective vendor your notes, your statement of work, your job description, all the things you would like to accomplish, right? You can send them this specific list, or you can be as specific as you want or keep it general and let them kind of come back to you with what they would do. So you might have a great idea for advertising in different places you want to advertise and what type of advertisements you would do. But rather than giving them the plan, you can go ahead and just let them know, I'd like to do some advertising on social media. I'd like for that to make the phone ring. What would you do? And you might have some of your own notes that you share, or you can come back and let them hear what their plan is. And then you can kind of go back and forth. And this is going to help you to evaluate if this vendor that you're going to use is competent, is truly an expert at what you're asking them to do. Somebody has on their website that they do Facebook ads and Google ads and SEO. Cause I'm going to tell you, everyone who does those things has all of those things on their website.
Right.
They're probably really good at a couple of them.
Yeah.
And do some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Because they have customers that need that. Right. And the same is going to be true of you out there listening, right? You might be really great at doing embroidered hats and okay at making t-shirts. You do a lot more hats. You've spent a lot more time training it. You know, if you're going to give a sample, a hat is what you want to deliver because you feel it's your best work. You do shirts and they're fine, but it's not truly your area of expertise. Every vendor you're going to talk to is going to be that way as well. Even though your website has listed t-shirts, right? Just like it has listed hats, their website is going to have listed everything they do, but you need to kind of evaluate which is the best that they offer.
And I do want to break in here with a tip while we're talking about it, because if you are really looking for an expert, it's why we recommended that you have to figure out what your core problem is and your core goal is first. Because if you go to an expert, if I go to a CPA and I say, I'd like to use the 1040 EZ to backfile my taxes for the past 3 years, can you do that? And they say yes and tell you what a great idea that is and how well that they can do it. And the team that they have that can help you fill it out properly, then they're a terrible expert. Because I don't know anything about this. I'm just saying words. Mm-hmm. That, you know, so like I want to hire a social media contractor because I want more social sales from social media. You should be able to call somebody in marketing that tells you that's a terrible idea. You know, you don't have this, and this in place. You know, so what you don't want is you don't want somebody that's an expert to just do what you're telling them to do.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't know what they should do. You know what you want to have happen at the end.
Yes.
If you understood all the pieces in the middle, then you would be doing it yourself.
Yeah. The reason why it's a problem is because you have not done that.
Right? Yes.
You've not successfully done it. And therefore it's a problem. So you need to definitely lean on some experts. So, and that was kind of where I was going a little bit in the beginning and talking about that description and statement of work, et cetera, is really just more of you have your full set of notes and then you have a set of questions or answers or thoughts that you pass on.
Yeah.
And really. And then you can compare that stuff. You might be a marketing genius and have a really great idea on how to get something to go viral on social. And you can pay somebody to help you do that. There's the risk level of is significantly different than if you ask an expert, say, hey, I want to make more money. And
right.
And they help you to get you there versus I have a great idea. I need you to help me execute it. Because if you're going to pay somebody to execute an idea, they will do it.
Yes.
And then in the end, if it doesn't work, the rule is your idea.
It was your idea.
You asked me to help you execute this. I did. I know it didn't work the way you wanted. I did everything you told me to do. Right. So those are two different things, right? Okay. Executing one of your ideas. And I'm not going to say don't do that because it might be a great idea. You know, I mean,
it's different. It's like, you know, hiring, you know, if you want to have, it's deciding for marketing your business that you want to do postcards.
Mm-hmm.
And you find somebody to design postcards for you the way you want them to design postcards.
Mm-hmm.
It may not have anything to do with best practices for actually marketing and sending out postcards. You know, oh, I really like heavily script and old English fonts that are only 10 points. And I want everything to be black and gray. And I want the postcard to be really small. If someone will do that to you, do that for you, and you can find people that'll do that, then you haven't hired an expert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. So really there are these differences. I think you brought up a really good point, Mark, is, you know, there's a difference between finding an expert to execute what you have decided you want to do versus having a problem and finding an expert to solve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's 100% it. I mean, that's everything we've said in the past few minutes summed up right there. And then you need to understand which one of those two things you want and what you want to do and understand what the risk might be in doing either of those two things, right?
Yeah.
Or what the risk is if you don't do them, you know, right? So you do some risk assessment, do some cost assessment, how much is it going to cost, what type of work's involved in it. And then you make the decision on how that works. We do both of these things.
Yeah.
We hire people to execute things that are our ideas. Sometimes we have employees within Coldesi do things that we advise to do. And other times we will go to an employee or go to an expert outside of the organization and ask them to provide us what they would do.
Yeah.
So in choosing a vendor, it's important to decide which one of those things you are doing. Is this something that you want executed because it's your idea? Then you need to find somebody who's going to be good at executing things like that. Or do you have a problem that you're not sure what the answer is? Then you need to find an expert that can do that. So once you've kind of gotten around that, and you're beginning to open up a dialogue with them, right? You need to have them, and I love that you wrote this, you need to have them respond in writing how they can help. A phone call is great. A Zoom call is great to hash out ideas and get a feel if you like somebody, but you need to have everything in writing on what they're going to do. And this doesn't necessarily mean a quote yet.
Yeah, you're not looking for, and a lot of experts will be, you know, they'll respond with their process and not with the specifics. So if you send your job description to them, this is what I want to accomplish, then they should be able to respond by email in writing that I understand what you're asking for. And here's how I would go about solving that problem. You know, if it's a social media marketing plan, it might be, first, I'd spend a lot of time analyzing your Facebook presence and your Twitter and see what people respond to. Then I would create something for TikTok, you know, or XYZ social media platform along the same lines and see if we get that kind of response. Then after testing, we would do this, then we would measure the results in the end. And you and I would talk once a week while we get started. You know, so maybe, and that might be enough for you. But that's a good written response that shows that they understand what you asked them to do or what you asked them for, and that they're showing you, this is how I would do it.
So you said a lot of interesting things there. You asked for how they're going to deliver it, how they're going to measure if what they promised to be delivered is done. And I think that when you're speaking with somebody and all of these things are clear to you, you can ask yourself, how do I know if they're doing a good job? And they've provided you with how they're going to show that they're doing a good job, right?
Yeah.
You know, it could be a CPA firm. We have two people that work on your fire all the time. One person does all of it. We have a second person that does all double checking on everything to make sure the quality control is good. This way we make sure that all of your stuff is done correct and you got two set of expert eyes on it. Okay. You might not have asked for that, but hearing words like that, you know, helps you to understand, okay, these are folks that know what they're talking about. They know how to evaluate things. They know how to make sure things are being done right. And that could be for social media campaigns, ad campaigns, or something like having your taxes done correctly. So it's important to kind of look at their process and understand that the vendor you're choosing is truly a professional at what they're doing.
Yeah. And it also will give you a little insight into whether or not they understand. And this is another reason why I like these things in writing, is because you want to keep a clear eye on what your goals are. And if you're talking on the phone with someone and they end up talking a lot and pitching you on their services, you may have unwittingly changed your goal to whatever they do really well. You know what I mean? So someone, if you got on the phone with Mark Vila and he may convince you that you should be, you should never do your taxes. You should do this instead.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, the idea is for you to have that clear understanding, like Mark said, and then to get them to tell you what you asked for. And if they can do that within the process that they respond with, then you're on the right track with picking them. Yeah.
So in your email, when you send me some of the information and some of what you do, if you could just do me a favor and kind of summarize in your own words what you think I'm looking to get accomplished, you know, what you think some of my problems might be and how you, and, you know, why you're good to solve them. You know, if you could just put that in a couple words, I just want to share it with, you know, with the folks that advise me, those people that I talk to, my business partners, you know, my husband or wife, right. You know,
that's perfect.
It's important to them that they know that you want a little bit of a repeat of what you talked about, what the problem is, and then this is for other people's eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and then how that gets responded to as part of the decision-making process.
Right.
Now you had put in here about getting referrals.
Yeah. So that's how a lot of this kind of business takes place, is, you know, if you're looking for a CPA or a, you know, an interior designer. Mm-hmm. Normally the first place that you're not normally just going to go Google it first. For those kinds of things, you're probably going to ask around and see, you know, if there's anyone that knows anyone that they can recommend. So that's it. You know, I mean, you should always look at online reviews if they're available. But you know, also you've got to talk to somebody that has had success with those vendors.
Yeah. It's got to be somebody that you trust that gives you the review. You know, we've made this joke for 150 something episodes, but don't just hire somebody because they're related to you or related to your best friend. You know, I mean, nepotism is a thing out there, but just if they are closely tied to you and they're a great expert and you really trust them, then maybe that's a beautiful thing. But yeah, just because they're close to you doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be what's best for your business.
See, and I agree with all that. I would just change the words around and say that if they are related to you and they're great at what they do, do not consider them anyway.
So to keep that arm's length.
Yeah, because you want to be able to fire them or yell at them and not have to worry about it at Thanksgiving.
True. It is much easier to fire or be snarky or yell at somebody that you can completely cut ties with and you never have to see at any kids' birthday parties. Right? Or Thanksgiving.
That's great.
Right? It is true. It's 100% true. So you consider that. It's a very important part of making this decision. I think it's important to discuss a little bit about pricing.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we can go ahead and I'm getting a phone call. I'm going to deny that. All right.
Sorry. So in the pricing category, there's a lot of different ways that an expert might charge you. They might charge you by the hour. They could ask for a block of hours. It could be a monthly charge. There could be a big setup charge. And then, you know, ongoing smaller fees on a monthly basis. It's hard to know if you're getting a good deal or if you're working with the right person at the right price, unless you do a little comparison.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's a 100%. You've got to talk to three companies, three organizations, three people at a minimum. I mean, two maybe if it's a simple enough project, you know, you don't want to waste time, but at least two, three is a really good number. You don't have to get too deep into the conversations, but just initial, you want to find out, are you getting a good deal? What are you getting for that deal too, right? So there's probably going to be a price difference between somebody who's a CPA that will just do all your documentation versus somebody who says, we have two experts look at everything that we do for you.
Right.
There's probably a difference in that. You are going to get what you pay for, right? And then you get to decide, do you want the premium service where everything's double checked? Or I trust that one person can do it. It's not that big of a deal. You know, yeah. I'm not doing $1 billion.
That's a good differentiator. And it depends on you too, because it may be that, you know, dealing with any of these experts that you will only feel comfortable if they tell you specifically what they're doing all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, most firms won't do that, you know, but if you're the kind of person that needs to see, okay, if I'm hiring a social media company, I need to know that they're doing at least three posts a week. I need to know that they're doing this analysis once every 6 weeks, that they're going to do X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. you know, then you need to look for a company that is going to treat you in that manner, as opposed to somebody that is a general marketing guy that's going to say, you know what, don't worry about any of that. I know what your goal is. I'm going to get you there and I'm going to use these tools to do it.
Yep. So that's a decision and there's cost difference and all this stuff, but it is important to get quotes from different companies or different organizations or individuals, whatever it might be. Make sure you are comparing apples to apples in those quotes, right? So one person, somebody who's got 3 years in marketing experience that's going to do everything by themselves is probably a different price than somebody who's been doing it for 20 years, that has a small team, which is probably a different price than an agency with 150 employees, right? Yep. They are going to offer different services. You know, the new person's probably going to give you a lot more attention because they only have a few clients. The person with more experience, you know, I mean, you could balance all that. So when you're looking at your pricing, consider all that, write a pro and con list, write some things that they're particularly good at. And one thing I think is important is to ask them to explain their value in their pricing.
Yeah. So I think that's the best thing that either one of us has said so far in the podcast is, you know, once you get pricing from your respective vendors, if there's nobody you ruled out right away, then, you know, ask those vendors to explain, you know, exactly what am I getting for this?
Yeah, you could, and you can simply say, and this is an honest statement that nobody should be insulted by. And if they are, you don't want to hire them.
Yeah.
There are people out there that do this for a little bit of a better price than you do. Why are you worth a bit more money?
Yeah.
And anybody who's worth their value, whether they're really expensive or very inexpensive, somebody will charge less and they can explain why they're worth more.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to have that conversation, and it's okay for you to listen to that and hear the person. You know, you get five quotes or four quotes or three, and you might decide to go with the most expensive one. Mm-hmm. And because of the value that they put behind that price, you feel is worth it, and it's better solves the problem for your business.
You know, and I'm going to use a good example of this, not in the experts field, but if you've purchased a piece of equipment from Coldesi, you did not buy the least expensive thing on the market, right? So you bought high value equipment, and the salesperson that you talked to, I guarantee, was able to tell you why you'll want to spend more on an Avance or on a DTG G4 or an Epson F2100 with Coldesi than with any of the other people that might sell it a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, let me. There's always something cheaper.
Yeah,
and there's always somebody that's going to think you way overpaid for no matter what. There are people out there who think an iPhone or a Samsung is a waste of money.
Yeah,
you know, I would completely disagree with that because I use the tools on these smartphones a lot that they bring me a lot of value. You know, it brings me way more value than my laptop would or something like that, right? And there's going to be somebody who thinks like, I can't believe you would buy a DTG printer because you can make one in your garage from stuff you buy off eBay.
Right.
But there's a clear value difference in what you get versus something that you Frankensteined on your own when you're not an electrical engineer versus something that electrical and computer engineers built that comes with a warranty and support and stuff, right? There's clearly a level. You didn't build your own car, but you could have gone to a junkyard, right?
Right.
So the same thing is with hiring these vendors, right?
Is that there
you can always get it cheaper. And I think this leads into the first tip is we have some tips for hiring right now.
Yeah.
Five or six, and then we can wrap it up. But don't let price just dictate your decision. So expensive doesn't mean good, and cheap doesn't mean it's the best value or the best choice. Everything in life, you are probably not listening to this podcast if everything you do is the cheapest possible way you can do it.
Right.
If every single thing in your life, right?
It's really interesting that I'm in the middle of this book called Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. And he talks about how people that don't know how much something is worth will assume that a higher price is a higher value because they don't have any other decision-making criteria.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? So if I don't understand marketing, if I don't understand accounting, I might assume that somebody that charges more is obviously worth more, is obviously more of an expert than the guy who charges less. So you need, this is why you're going through that process of, you know, deciding what exactly you want to accomplish, you know, getting all of your thoughts down on paper, having these extensive conversations with people is so you can weed some of that out. So by the time you talk to your three people, then you'll know this is someone that I can work with. They have a high value. I like them personally. I don't mind working with them on a regular basis in the business. They're able to say back to me what my needs and what my goals are. And I've looked at those prices, and I think that for the value that they are giving, this is the company that I want to go with.
Yeah, and logic will dictate this for you, especially once you do it a handful of times in your business. But if you consider kind of the theory behind it, right? But if you recognize how much somebody's charging, and you can start putting a determination on how many hours you're getting out of them, or out of their business, or out of their firm, you know, then you could put together an hourly rate, mm-hmm. right? And if somebody is giving you, if you start to realize that everybody says this one particular thing you're going to do for your business is about 10 hours of work a month, and you find somebody that's willing to do it for $199, so are they going to pay themselves $20 an hour?
Right.
To do this for me? Like, I thought they're an expert. I was expecting it to be probably a minimum 3 to 5 times that number.
Yeah.
I have somebody else on the other side saying they're going to charge me $350 an hour. Okay. Well, just doesn't seem like what they're asking me for is that exclusive. What I'm asking for is that exclusive. So you're going to start to learn some of that. So, so expensive doesn't mean good. I saw on TV or YouTube, I don't remember where I watched it. Don't ask me how this came up. And I saw this. Okay.
Hey, Mark.
Let's come up again. But it was the person who does like Cher's hair or something like okay. that.
Sure.
Like, charges like $1,200 a haircut or something.
Now I have to know how this came up.
I don't even remember how okay. I saw this.
You were listening to Sonny and Cher, your Sonny and Cher A-track.
I probably was. I have a feeling that that someone else was watching TV and I walked into the room. That's probably, sure. that's most of the time how my TV watching is done. So okay. that's probably how it happened.
That's
but is, do we really believe that this person is besides the fact that they do celebrity hair is worth like $1,200 an hour, you know? Right. And they probably will not cut your hair any better than the person who does 300. Right. So that's something when you consider the price, right?
It's still 300.
Still a ton, for a haircut, right? A crap. Right. Yeah. It's still a crap load. So I mean, you're in that crap load realm, okay? But probably better than the person who's willing to do it for $5.
Could be, yeah.
You know,
your mom
with a Flowbee,
yeah.
So price doesn't always equal the quality. You need to put some actual thought behind that and consider it. And that's why you get more quotes, is you can kind of start to evaluate that. Don't go for the most expensive because you think it's the best necessarily. The most expensive still might be the best. And don't go with the cheapest just because it's the cheapest and you're getting the best deal, because you might shortchange yourself.
And for the next tip, which I really like, is you're not buying the salesperson,
mm-hmm.
right? So just because someone has the best salesperson, which is very important when you start dealing with agencies,
mm-hmm.
At the agency level, just because they have a great salesperson doesn't mean they have great service or that they're going to do a great job for you.
Mm-hmm.
We have got, we've talked to agency people for advertising. For paid advertising, and we've talked to public relations people. And the way a big agency works is they've got a team of salespeople that are there to do a proposal and close the deal. And that is the last time you will ever talk to that person. So your long-term relationship and the results you get have nothing to do with that person and everything to do with the team that it gets turned over to,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of why you want all that stuff in writing. You know, it's why you want the understanding to be there. So you have all of this, not really a paper trail to prove things, but all of this demonstration of understanding.
Yes.
Independent of the personality of the person on the other end of the phone.
A perfect way of put it is you completely understand what you're getting, that it's, you get me, and part of stuff like that. And if they're not involved in the service, then it's important to understand. And it's another thing is that if you are directly dealing with the person who will service you, will service your account.
Yeah.
Just because they are a great salesperson doesn't mean that they're great at what they're doing. So there's no true answer to this because a great salesperson might be a really great salesperson because they're passionate about what they do. Mm-hmm. And they're very intelligent and they know how to speak it. And they're just a generally friendly person. So you like them and you want to buy from them. So it is hard to, it really is hard. It's a hard thing to do because that best salesperson that you're talking to just might just be an extremely talented person that you want to hire. Right. And they also just might be full of it. And right. That's why you just have to use, just some of your gut and some, and that's why you do the other things that by getting other quotes, asking for referrals, looking at Google reviews.
Yeah.
If somebody has really bad, very bad 2.5 stars on Google and they're an amazing salesperson, I wouldn't want to buy from them, even though
right.
I might really like them because I'm assuming it's not being delivered afterwards.
Yep. That's good. Now the next thing I'm going to let you talk about Mark Vila, because if you out there did not know this, Mark Vila is the master of contracts. He got this title recently, but if you want to talk over a detailed contract, with somebody, Mark Vila is your guy.
Well, I would say more so that, I always want an out when it comes to in entering a relationship with somebody that's going to be connected to the business. I want to make sure that they don't have the upper hand on my business. It's my business. I'm in charge of it or with Coldesi. And I have to take responsibility of those things. So if you're talking to an ad agency or whatever it might be, and before they've done anything for you, they want a year contract, right? Which might be fair of them to ask. I'm not saying that it's not fair for people to ask for contracts because some jobs are complicated, right? But what you need to understand is how are you going to get out if they don't deliver? How are you not going to get stuck with a subpar product, with somebody who isn't meeting your goals, who isn't living up to your expectations? And it's really important that when you're going to enter in this agreement with them, you understand how is it going to be measured? How do I exit out of this if it's not good for me? And really push in any way possible, push the best thing for your business is no contract.
Yeah.
Right. The best thing for your business is saying
30-day notice as a courtesy, something like that. That's the way a contract should be.
Yeah, 30-day notice. Yeah, I mean, that's the best, right? As long as you keep doing a good job, I will keep giving you money, and that's it. Now, every business can't operate this way, and we definitely have contractual agreements we enter in, and you will have to as well for certain reasons, right? Like if you're leasing a space, they're just not going to do month to month. They're going to ask you for a year.
Yeah.
Right. But most real estate is governed, right? And landlords have particular things they have to meet. They have to uphold, right? They have to make sure that the building is serviced and that it meets electrical codes and things like that. Right. Yeah. So you have a protection there, but you don't always have a protection if you hire an ad agency and you sign a 3-year contract with them.
Yeah.
So it's important to watch out for that.
Yeah. And I mean, understand that there are reasons why somebody might do a long-term contract, like for if you are a social media contractor, or if you help people with paid advertising or SEO, then it takes a while for those things to take effect. There's a lot of testing involved. So some may put a contract in place to make sure you stick it out so you can see the results that they're working on, and that might be,
Go ahead. Oh, okay. I was going to say, when you're coming to say that, it made me think about, sometimes within these contracts, it's because all the work is done up front And then it's just maintenance going on in the beginning. So they might spend 50 hours in the first month and only 10 in the next two, but the aggregate hours is 70 hours. And that's what they're charging you for.
Right.
In over that 3 month period of time. So they might have a 90-day contract because the amount of work that it takes to be done, but they're letting you pay it slowly over time.
Yep.
And that just gets me thinking about, you know, with how you're paying. You know, I'm not a big fan of just, oh, you have to strike me a giant check up front. You know, right. Okay, you need to do something for me.
I'm not going to prepay you for a year. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to prepay you for, and people get sucked into these things all the time. And a lot of intelligent people get trapped in this stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, even
I know at, I have.
At all of us. Yeah, all of us in our lives have at some point in time signed into an agreement or a contract that we shouldn't have and wasted a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you so you don't have to do that. So I think it's really important to not allow that to happen, to push for trial runs of things, to put, let me see, how about this? You know, I'll give you 90 days. And then if you've done a good job in 90 days, then I'll sign the rest of the year for you.
There you go.
You know, and you negotiate that in a way that works for you.
And that kind of relates to part of your next point, which is never take the first price they offer. I wouldn't say never, but you know, this is the kinds of things that you should be unafraid and anxious to talk to people about. If you hire a CPA that wants you to give him or her $2,500 up front to clean up all of your tax mess, and then $1,000 a month for the rest of the year to do level two or something like that, perfectly reasonable not to take that offer and say, look, I can't afford that. I'm not ready to invest that. You know, how about if I do just $1,000 a month for the first 3 months, and then, you know, we'll see how it goes from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can always let them know that what you are planning on spending, they are higher than the budget than you would have preferred to spend, and that you might make the decision to not do business with them because of that. And are they willing to do something to help you go with them? So yeah. They're going to say $2,500 up front, and you did not plan on spending $2,500 or did not want to, yep. Or you were planning on spending $2,500, but you'd like to see if you can get it done for two.
A good phrase to use is, look, I've selected you as my vendor. I would really prefer to work with you. Unfortunately, I can't afford that, or I'm not ready to spend that kind of money. You know, is there some lesser charge that you can offer me? You know, what else can we do for us to work together? But you know, I don't have to pay quite that much.
Yeah. Is there a discount you can offer me for a new sign up, you know, and I'm fine to pay that price, maybe ongoing, but initially, you know, you can offer to sign a contract.
There you go. I like that.
You know, I mean, that's a negotiating tactic you could do too. You might know that you're in it for a year anyway, and you don't plan on trying. So say, how about this? I'll give you a year commitment if you take 20% off. I mean, these are all like complicated things, but I find it's very simple to just say, I like the word, you know, I've selected you as my vendor. You charge $2,500. I really was looking to spend closer to $1,500 with, you know, or $2,000. What can you do? Can you do something for me so we can move on with this?
Yeah.
And if you ask that question of almost anybody, oftentimes people will give you something. There will be people that will hard know it, no matter what. And this is a fixed price. And if you want to do business with them, this is what they do. And if somebody gives you a hard no on something like that, it's up to you to choose that or not. Right.
Yeah.
That's your choice.
Even big companies will be flexible like that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And everyone, almost everybody has flexibility in what they charge. And I think it's really important to ask. If you don't ask, it's always no.
Yep, I agree.
And you
the last tip that...
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, the last tip that we have down here, because we're coming up on our hour, is to ask specifically where all the work is done. Now, you know, is it a loose network of people that come together to accomplish a task? Is it an agency full of employees that sit in an office building in Utah? Are they all full time? Is it a person in the United States who uses subcontractors overseas to get stuff done? You know, none of these are necessarily deal breakers, but you should know on how these things are going to be accomplished, because different scenarios can cause different problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do it all myself, right? Might be an answer. Yeah. Or I do it myself and I have some other folks that I work with when I need some help. And you can ask, okay, are those full-time employees of yours, or are they, you know, contractors that you work with to help out? And it's just important to know, because you're going to, it'll really just help you make the decision. If the price is cheaper and you find out that they offshore some stuff over to India and they tell you what that portion is, and you feel that that's okay, you don't mind that, it doesn't bother you, and it saves you a little bit of money, you might make, okay, well, now I understand why their price is cheaper.
Yep.
I don't mind that they're doing that over there, or I don't like that they're doing that there. Whatever. There's no right or wrong answer to any of these things. It's part of understanding what they charge and what you get.
Yeah. Maybe your accountant, you know, your the accounting or the CPA guy that you hire could be using bill.com or some online accounting service, you know, to do almost all the work. So the answer could be that, you know, like 75% of the day-to-day stuff is automated. You know, I use advanced software applications to take care of that. Or, you know, the Google Ad software that I use makes most of the decisions. So it doesn't require a lot of people in my office. It's just me and one other professional that I use to take a look. All those are good answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what they say, it's a good answer. It's how they've decided to run their business. You just have to make a determination whether or not it matters to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that if you ask all this stuff and you take some of those tips and you go through this as a little process, it's going to be, you'll feel really confident when you do make a choice. And it'll still be scary. It'll still be terrifying to sign a contract or hand somebody a check for $5,000 when you've done everything for yourself in the past, but yeah. It should help you to feel more confident in doing this stuff. And honestly, these are the steps that you take to get bigger, right? Yeah. And like Jeff Bezos didn't build just Amazon by not making smaller and bigger and bigger and bigger decisions like this. So if you're, the growth of your business is to, you know, go from a side hustle all the way up to something that, you know, affords you a larger house one day, then this is part of the process, and just get good at it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I like that. Okay. This has been How to Hire an Expert on the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Stevenson.
And Mark Vila, and today we're brought to you by Coldesi.
What?
And ColemanandCompany.com. So if you've made it to the end here, congratulations. You found out the secret that we're sponsored by the company that we work for.
You guys, buy stuff from us and have a great business.